Hello, everybody. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Josh coming up on stage, and Coach Bob in the blue. We've invited Joe to come up today as well, Joe Calhoun. And we call the leaders here on staff, Bob and Josh and Wayne and I, we call ourselves coaches. Inside the bulletin has kind of a breakdown of what each coach area does. And if you want to get plugged in here at church, it'll kind of guide you to who to talk to. And we call ourselves coaches, and when we think about coaching and what a coach does, Joe had told me a quote, and you're going to have to remind me again of who this quote's from.
Tom Landry from Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he says the role of a coach is to get people to do what they don't want to do so that they can have what they want to have. Is that right? Okay. So today, if you kind of picture, I know we're all in pews and it's not really like a huddle or something or a practice, but kind of picture this is a coaching moment. Of the things we're going to talk about today are two things that are not very easy to swallow. There may be things that you're not going to want to do right away, but we're convinced it's going to get us to where we want to go. This picture of the Royals, this is the Royals this last season, or this last spring training in Arizona. And if you look at pictures of the Royals practicing, they'll be doing lunges and all sorts of weird exercises that you never see them do on the field, and that they probably don't like doing, that aren't super comfortable. But I bet they're all happy that they did everything they did in Surprise Arizona this year, because they're where they want to be right now in the season. You know, they're 10 games up, and I'm sure they think like it's so good that we did all of those steps to now have what we want to have. So as we're talking today about some different things, think about this is God's plan to take you to where he wants to get you. So the first thing we're going to be talking about, we're in 1 Peter, and I highly encourage you guys to be reading 1 Peter in between the sermons, because there's a lot of wonderful stuff that we can't cover. Today we're going to be in chapter 2, verse 16, is where we start. It says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. So Peter here has been talking about how we're free from our old life and from our sinful ways, our destructive habits. And he says we come into a new life that's free with God. That's the context of this passage. But he says, don't use all that freedom, those good things that God's put in your life, those strengths, to cover up evil. In fact, we're supposed to live as God's slaves. So we have this weird, live as a free, we're supposed to be free, but we're also supposed to be God's slaves.
Free slaves.
The first thing we're going to be talking about is freedom from getting our own way. It's kind of a weird concept. How can we be free from getting our own way? Well, Bob did a little experiment this week to try to get at this idea of freedom from getting your own way. So, Bob, what did you do this week?
Well, let's get to that in a second.
We'll wait for
Joe,
it.
Joe's laughing because he and I drive similarly.
Yes.
And we've both gotten letters from the state saying if you get another ticket, you're going to have to give us your driver's license. Yeah, I know. Mine was years ago in Louisiana when the speed limit was 55 miles an hour, and Joe's was in another. Yes.
Bob, when was your last speeding ticket, though?
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
I keep municipalities flowing. Well, the deal is, I don't want my insurance company to have to work on their books, and so I just keep a ticket on my record, you know, so they don't have to change anything. Just keep charging me those high rates.
That's very thoughtful of you, Bob.
Trying to help. A little comedy show at my expense. That's okay. I was riding around town with one of my good buddies who had just left an AA meeting, and here's what he learned during that meeting. He learned his best thinking was trying to kill him. And when he said that to me, he says, you know, I learned today that my own best thinking is trying to kill me. And I thought, whoa, that's not just for a guy who just came from an AA meeting. That's for a preacher who's driving the car for his friend. Our own best thinking that's full of our own self-will is out to kill us, okay? And much of the wreck that we all have put ourselves in throughout life has been from our own best thinking. Well, I think this would feel good. I think that would be a good thing to do. Let's go try this without ever monitoring that. And I'll guarantee you that most of the arguments that took place in your life this week, you were trying to get what you wanted, and the person you were arguing with was trying to get what they wanted. And so somewhere along the line, we have to give up this terrible tyranny slavery to our own self. And the interesting thing is, as we serve the Lord, as we become His slave and we yield to Him, He sets us free from being enslaved to ourselves, which gives us the life we've been looking for. Kind of like what Jake was talking about a minute ago. You do the things you don't want to do so you can get what you do want to get. So we've talked about this since the early service, the four of us. There's some great stuff in here. It's just hard to get it preached. And we're going to try to preach it. And we pray that you can catch a piece and it'll be a part of your life. Yeah. So let me tell you my story, okay? You want to comment, Joe?
No.
No comment? All right. You want to talk about your driving record?
No.
Okay, just checking. So I learned one of the disciplines we can have in our life to learn how to give up ourselves involves driving. And there was a fellow who, he actually is a speaker who lives in Los Angeles. I was listening to him. And in Los Angeles, they have about 8 million lanes on each side of the highway, and they go as fast as they can go, which, who knows, all right? So here's what he said. I drive in a slow lane, and I don't pass anybody. And I told Jake on Monday, I'm going to drive in a slow lane all week, and I'm not going to pass anybody. Do y'all know how hard that is? I mean, this foot right here works really well on the floor of my car, all right? And so I really did pretty well, other than a couple of exceptions when I didn't do too well. But nevertheless, what I found was I got the same place I was going. I had to think a little bit differently about my driving. But what I was doing, I was praying, and it did sort of, not completely by any means, but it sort of got me thinking about giving up my own rights and giving up my own stuff. So, like when it comes to my wife, I can yield to her rather than try to get her to yield to me. And when I'm here at the church, I can do the same thing. So we're going to talk about experiments. I'm going to continue this because I think it's worth trying to get it ingrained. It's not just a silly sermon illustration. I'd recommend that you find something you can do that will touch you in the same way. And Jake's got a story that's along the same lines, but quite different too.
So when you're thinking about different frictions you have with other people in your life, things that separate you from the people around you, a lot of them have to do with we're stuck on getting our own way. We're so enslaved to getting our own way that we'll start an argument with our spouse, or that we'll do something really mean to one of our kids, or that we'll get fired from work. I mean, we'll do crazy things because we have this monkey on our back of getting our own way all the time. And we don't even realize the problem we've gotten ourselves into. And as Bob and I were talking this week, Bob was committing to driving slowly, and I just came up with a story from my past, so I got off easy. But when I was a really little kid, back when I can barely remember, there were only three foods that I wanted to eat. I was crazy picky, and so I only wanted to eat baked potatoes, Plain Cheerios, or hot dogs. That was it. And so not a very nutritional lifestyle. My parents broke me of some of those habits, but all through growing up, I was picky. And it makes it awkward once you start hanging out with people and going to restaurants when you do only like half the restaurants that are out there, or maybe less. It gets awkward and weird. Even when I was in college, I still didn't like Mexican food, didn't like Chinese food. And so people would be going out to Taco Bell or something, and I wouldn't go with them sometimes. Or I would go and not get anything, or I would bring food from somewhere else. It's awkward. So sometimes my stomach, now I look back, my stomach was my boss. It was telling me who I could and couldn't hang out with at times, which is crazy. It was ridiculous. But the silly thing of having to get particular food that I liked, it limited me in all these other areas. It controlled all these other areas that had nothing to do with food. So then, a lot of you guys know, I wound up doing some internships and eventually living in Mexico. Well, the first internship I did, I went down to Mexico, lived there for 10 weeks. At the start of that 10 weeks, I didn't like Mexican food, but guess what we ate for those 10 weeks. So we ate a lot of food. This is actually delicious. I couldn't find very many pictures of food down there, but this is a discada that one of my friends is making, and I wish I could eat this for lunch today. But when I first got to Mexico, I didn't like it, and I wound up eating three meals a day, oftentimes of things that I didn't like. And then I'd go over to people's houses, and I couldn't speak Spanish very well. They'd put a plate of food in front of me, and I couldn't give all my great explanations or make excuses. It was either I'm going to not eat or eat. There's no explanation. And when you don't have your words to try to manipulate or try to make yourself look a little better, you just have your actions. I realized give me a fork, you know, or give me a tortilla, actually, and we're going to go to town on this thing. I started to eat a lot of things I didn't like. My stomach was no longer my boss. I ate a lot of meals, to be honest. It, like, turned my stomach or, like, but I lived as a slave away from that. I didn't say yes to my stomach that whole period, pretty much. Interesting thing is my stomach stopped getting in the way of connecting with other people. Food stopped being an issue of connecting with other people. So that's the first freedom, is that when we let go of getting our own way, it breaks down a lot of barriers to our relationships. Maybe you come home at night from work and you want to kick your feet up and you need to watch your show or you need to do your thing. And if someone comes in and interrupts, oh man, look out. But what if you came home and the first hour you're home, you were a slave to the rest of the family? You said, I'm just going to try to make everybody's life easier that's around me for the first hour. Or what if instead of always having to get that station right or always having to get that food you want, always having to get your own way in this or that thing, what if you just said, I'm going to flip a switch there. Whatever God puts on my plate, I'm going to eat it. Whatever's going to be helpful to the people around me, whatever's going to glorify God, I'm going to do that. See, the interesting thing that happened in Mexico is that I did that for about 10 weeks, and when I came back, I realized, wow, I like all sorts of foods that I didn't like when I left. You see, my palate actually changed. My taste buds actually changed, and I went from this transformation over kind of my whole growing up period of being super picky to now I like almost everything. And the interesting thing is with God is if you start saying, you know what, I can go help my neighbor out with some yard work, or I can go help spend some time with this elderly person, or I can go do this other thing that's not exactly what I want to do. If you do that over and over, not just on one Sunday afternoon, but you do that week in and week out, 10 weeks down the road, you might realize you really like some of the new stuff that God has put on your plate. Your palate might change, and everybody around you will be easier to get along with if you expand that palate. Just like when I could start going out to eat everywhere, it made it easier to hang out with more people. If you can start being more flexible and not having to always get your way, it's going to open up all sorts of doors. And you'll see that being God's slave is actually the way to true freedom. See, if I'd had my own way my whole life, if my parents had been terrible parents and just said, okay, you want potatoes, here's baked potatoes and some Cheerios and hot dogs, I'd be horribly sick probably, but I'd be a mess. I wouldn't have experienced awesome food like this discata. And if you are stuck in your little corner only getting your own way, then you're a slave to that. You're trapped in those few little preferences. Yeah. But if you'll open up and say, God, how can I serve somebody else? How can I make you look good, God? You'll start doing stuff you don't like at first, just like the Royals are doing lunges, and they don't like it probably. But you'll look down the road here in a few months and you start to realize, wow, I'm where I want to be. My family relationships are better. My working relationships are better. I enjoy life more. So that's our first.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah.
Jake and I spent some time this week and he reflected on a story and I tried something new. Think right now about something you can do that you can practice that gets you out of your comfort zone in terms of yielding your life, getting away from self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is my automatic reaction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want my way, and it's automatic. I don't even have to think about it. What I have to think about is doing something that helps me get out of it. So we're going to move to another point here, but I want to underscore, think about something you can do this week. I had some guys, after a couple weeks ago when you spoke, Josh, that they went out and sat on their front porch and they prayed and they found out there were mosquitoes early in the morning. But they sat out there and they prayed and they whacked the mosquitoes, they met with the Lord. So think of something you can do this week that says, I'm going to give of myself, okay?
Okay, so we've got 2 points for you. So here's the second one. We've got another verse here, a couple verses down the road. Verse 18, it says, slaves, this is talking about actual slavery back during the Roman Empire, but it says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. So, you know, slavery we don't exactly have slavery nowadays, but I do think that this can relate, this verse can relate in principle to a lot of our relationships with our bosses, and even maybe a little more broadly than that, people that are harsh or cruel to us. But Joe, I know you've been thinking about this verse a lot and this idea of workers and bosses. Can you talk to us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, after the first service, Bob and I started talking about submission and how unusual that concept is in our society. And so I Googled submission, and it pulled up submission wrestling. And, you know, Jake's Bible study just before this was about submission. And somebody in our discussion group said, you know, submission, that's kind of like tapping out. So, you know, life gets you in a hold, and all of a sudden, you tap out. And it made me think about Josh's suggestions to people about how to start the day. And it made me think about my wife and I, how if things are going to go well, in my quiet time every day, when I tap out to God, I say, okay, let me tap out to my wife today. Let me tap out to my boss today. Let me tap out. Let me submit myself. And so, you know, I've been looking at verses on submission, and here's a verse that has got a lot of guys in trouble. I'm in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands. Now, this lady right here, I know she knows what I'm talking about. This has got a whole lot of guys in trouble. And the reason why is because they didn't read the verse just before it, which says, submit yourselves one to another. You know, and then it goes on and says, wives, submit to your husband. But husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. We're called to a very high standard. So then I started looking at other verses on submission. And, of course, this one says, basically, employees, submit to your bosses. You know, later in Peter, it said elders, younger people should submit to their elders. It's kind of like respect your elders. That's where that comes from. That used to be an expression. Can anyone, the older people, remember this? Respect your elders. Does anybody besides me remember this? That's the way I was brought up, right? Respect your elders. It's Bible. Respect leaders. Respect those in authority. Bob and I are praying about that. When it says speed limit, that's respecting authorities. You can pray for us on that. And in Ephesians, you know, as I just read, it says, submit to one another. And, of course, it says in James, submit to God. I think that submitting to other people helps us learn how to submit to God. And there are promises and benefits from submitting to people. And I wanted to share that short story about submitting to a early harsh taskmaster that I had that was a very, very, very tough boss. He's the first guy that set up an ICANN. And ICANN says, I can, you can, anybody can if you eliminate the excuses. So in that company, if you came in late for work, you put a buck in the ICANN. If you had an excuse for being late to work, you put another buck in the ICANN. If you talked about somebody behind their back, you put a buck in the ICANN. If you had a negative attitude at work, you put a buck in the ICANN. And a whole lot of other things that were, frankly, teaching me how to be a godly person. He was harsh about it, though. And it wasn't a good fit for me, Jake, working at that job. And about 9 months later, I got fired. I didn't get fired necessarily because, you know, of all the money I put in the ICANN, I got fired. I got fired because I wasn't suited to do the work. And when I got fired, we sat down and had a conversation, which was very special. For quite some time, he sat and told me how I could be a better employee. And I remember, because before I actually went to work for the company, I had actually in my mind I tapped out. I was going to respect this guy. I was going to work for this guy. I was going to submit to this guy. And it put me in a position of submission that when he was talking to me about how to be a better employee, it was really easy for me to receive it. And when he was done, he asked me if I had any input to help him be a better boss. And I cleared my throat and paused and thought, and I had a whole lot of things to help him be a better boss. And I told him about it, and he received it. And 3 months later, after I'd got fired from that job and
Can I stop you, Joe? So
yeah.
You just got fired, and you actually listened to constructive criticism?
I welcomed it.
Okay, that's what submission.
He's
really
the one guy in this building who would do that. Yeah. And the rest of us need to learn it, okay? Keep going.
I had a lot to learn. I mean, I had some, I had issues, and so I, so then I got another job that wasn't a good job for me, and about 3 months later, I got a call from the national company that I'd got fired from at a local level, and the guy that fired me at the local level referred me for a very high position at the national company. I made more than twice the money I'd ever made in my life, had more responsibility than I'd ever had in my life, and it literally paved the way for the work that I've done over the last 30 years. If I wouldn't have submitted to that man and been in relationship with him and learned what I needed to learn, he wouldn't have referred me to that national company, and I wouldn't have launched a career that has made a big, big difference in my life. In the lives of a lot of other people.
So what you're going to sit here and tell me that following the words of the Bible, even when it seems strange, doing what it says is actually meant to benefit you. And that's how it worked out for you this time.
There's an old saying, Josh, that you can't break the law. You can only break yourself against the law, as Bob and I learn when we get speeding tickets, right? When you obey the law is for our own good. The breaking the law is to our detriment. So when we submit to others in all kinds of situations, whether it's our boss, whether it's our wife, whether it's you guys, or just a person that we meet on the street, I think we are most like Christ when we are submitting to other people. Think about the people you know that you respect the most. They are people who defer to others, who are kind to others, who love others, who respect others. And every one of those is a command in the Bible. And when we do it, it's really, really good for us now, and it's really, really good for us in eternity.
Amen. Let's make submission the tapping out.
Yeah.
Let's make it really practical for Maywood Baptist. That means going to work and being there on time. Okay.
And maybe staying a little late.
If you need to.
Yeah.
All right. These are just real practical things. These are practices, and they will bless you. I asked Joe to speak. We talked about this on Monday, and I called Joe up. I have paid money to hear Joe teach leadership principles back when he was consulting in the 80s around here. He's been national for a long time. But when he was around here, I met Joe at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I paid him some of my money to learn some things from him. And in a meeting, he had a question about bad bosses. And I remembered that because his response was so good. And his response was basically, and I don't know if you put it in that term because it's kind of a secular crowd, but it was basically, do your work as unto the Lord. He didn't use those words, but he meant the same thing.
Right.
And we were talking after the first service about what does it look like unto the Lord? And so, under the Lord means you show up. It means that you're really a good employee. It means that you do the things that maybe you don't have to do, but you can do that makes your company better. Now, what's the payoff on that, Joe?
Well, Tom Landry had it right. You do the things you don't want to do so you can get the things you really want to get.
Right.
And it's the way life works. So, to add to your list, you dress sharp, you look sharp, you talk sharp. You, like you said, you work hard. You right. Do your work not as unto man, your work is unto the Lord. And when you do that, you get promoted. The Bible says, do well with what you've been given, and you'll be given more. I work with hundreds and thousands of business leaders and business owners and talk about their employees a lot. And there is nothing that is more uplifting than for them to talk about a Christian employee who I know is a Christian, and they say, you know, that person is a wonderful employee. And frankly, nothing more embarrassing
if they're not.
Then, you know, to have somebody that's walking around, you know, waving their Bible and, you know, got their bumper stickers on their car and they're a lousy employee. Frankly, I want to go out and take their bumper stickers off their car and tell them to quit saying they're a Christian until they can start acting like
that's
they're
right.
one.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. We could stay on this topic a long time. We have one more. I would like to see all of the people who like to get disrespected by other people raise your hand. I mean, one of the nicest things that ever happens to me is getting disrespected by somebody. I remember a little three-year-old girl when I was in Louisiana, not three-year-old, she was a third grader, and she looked at me as we were having a little activity at the church, and she looked at me and she says, "You make me sick." And I thought, child, if I was able, I could roll you in a ball and throw you against that wall over there. And yet you look at me, you make me sick. I, that's a long time ago, and I still remember. That girl's 40 or 45 years old now. But nevertheless, so we want to talk about being disrespected. This passage talks about hard people, and one of the hardest things we deal with is being disrespected. And so we have a disrespect expert down on the end. He has been disrespected. He has handled it. And that is Mr. Monk. That is not him on the screen.
No, this is how the average person feels on the inside when they get disrespected.
So how do you prepare yourself for living properly when people disrespect you? Because we all have it happen. And you got an old way of handling it that we're going to leave alone. But you have a new way of handling it. And how do you handle it now?
Well, I mean, I think Joe kind of hit it on the head when he was talking about tapping out. And we all kind of have, we understand what that means. It means you submit, you tap out. It's saying, I give up. I can't win this on my own. You know, that's what it is in MMA. That's what it is in life. When I wake up in the morning, that's what I do. Is I go to a spot, open up my Bible, have some coffee. And that's my way of tapping out. I said, I can't win this. I can't win on my own today without you. I can't do it. And I've tried, and I already, and it's, I mean, I proved it to myself. So, yeah, that's what we do. Is we get up in the morning and we tap out, get right with God, and that way throughout the day, when you notice, I say when you get disrespected, it ain't. It's not that big of a deal when you're riding close with Jesus, you know, as opposed to if Jesus is far off in the distance, boy, this can get bad fast. So that's what we do.
Tell us about your pass book.
I have a thing called Jesus Pass. And if you can kind of imagine with me what a receipt book looks like, it's a small receipt book. And when you disrespect me, I imagine myself writing you a pass. Like, there's a pass. I'm not going to whoop you today. You know what I'm saying? You got yourself a Jesus pass. Yeah. And so that's what I do, you know. So don't catch me when the pass book's thin, because that'd be bad for you.
There you go. So here are just some real practical things, and they're just... Pick one of the things we've talked about or two of the things and apply them to your life. Jake is going to kind of end this thing up for us, and then we're going to give you a chance to respond.
So here's my guarantee for you guys today is if you try to put something we talked about into practice, if you try to say no to yourself, if you try to submit to somebody that's cruel, it's not going to be easy. And you're not going to like it. And you're going to feel afraid at some point. You may not admit that you're afraid. You might get so angry to cover up your fear. But there's going to be fear in you about what's going to happen. And I want to take the wheel back, God. I want to show that person. The passage we were reading in, it goes on to tell us about Jesus and how Jesus did all the things that this passage talks about doing. He did them right. He submitted to cruel people when it glorified God. He didn't have to have his own way. He followed God's way. How did Jesus accomplish that? It says he entrusted himself to God. Trust is a thing that you're going to have to succeed with this. We've all seen moments like this where a little kid grabs the finger of their mom or their dad, and that parent can take them to a scary, confusing place in the kid's eyes. As long as they got a hold, a little grip, a little grizzly bear grip on that finger, they're okay. If you want to go on this journey with God that we talked about today, if you want to do your lunges so you can become who you want to be, you're going to have to hold really tight onto God's hand, and you're going to have to trust him when it doesn't seem like things are going the way you want them to go. God is going to take you to places that you'll be confused at or overwhelmed at, places where you feel afraid. And only if you're like Jesus, only if you trust God, are you going to come through that on the other side. We're going to have people down here ready to pray. It's your chance to respond. It's your chance to say, God, here's an area that I've been selfish in that I want to become your slave in. Here's an area that I want to submit. Here's a person that I want to submit to you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you. You didn't just talk about it, but you lived it for us. God, help us to trust you that you know best. Help us to submit to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.